despair, frustration, confused, depression. These are states of mind and how I've seen a lot of people today because of life. And I'm not talking about people of the world. I'm actually talking about Christians. Some try to hide it. Some openly display it because they don't get it. It's just unclear what's going on. I heard one lady explain to somebody about God what was disturbing about it. And it wouldn't have seemed disturbing if you would have heard what she said. She was saying in speaking of God in a way that is so desirable. Do you understand that? It fits what we want. And it was an encouraging way to have these people say, come and, you know, and come to the Lord. But the basis and the things that she was using wasn't what the Bible was using. She wasn't explaining God as if she knew God. We struggle because we keep trying to understand what's going on. There are many different things that happen in life, many ways that we are differently born, different situations that happen that make no sense. And I'm tired of hearing when people say, why would a loving God allow blah, blah, blah? And the reason why these questions come up, these feelings come up, the state of mind comes up, even amongst Christians, it's because we don't know God. Name of the sword of my step is true understanding is through knowing God. That's important. We have to truly know God in order to truly understand. Now, I'm going to make something clear. Usually when we hear the word understanding, we think it's just one word that everybody uses the same. That's not the truth. Just like the Bible shows us that there is worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom, and how dangerous worldly wisdom is, we're not kept in check, and it's not anything close to godly wisdom. In fact, he tells you to get rid of worldly wisdom in order to become godly wise. Do you understand that? Or truly wise, because that's true wisdom. Same thing goes with understanding. Problem with most people is we keep trying to have a understanding based on us, our own understanding. In other words, what I'm saying to God is make it make sense to me based on how I see it, based on my experiences, based on how I would do it. You get it? It has to be that for me to understand it. While true understanding is I hear what you're saying and I accept it to God. I may not feel that way, but that's what I am. That's true understanding, because it's letting him know I trust him. But once again, I have to have that relationship with him. And that relationship must be based on God himself, not on us. And most people who have a relationship with God, just like that young lady when she was explaining God, it was her interpretation of how God should be, not what God is. Let's dig into this, because hopefully it'll take some of us and get us out of this rut that we've allowed ourselves to go in because we really don't know God. Now, let me make something clear first. Not knowing God has eternal repercussions. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9 says, he will, and this is a promise, it's saying that something's going to happen. He will punish those who do not know God. You see that? And do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have spoken God incorrectly to where people think you say a few words, you're saved, everything's good, you're going there. He says, no, 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 no. In that of acceptance, what has to be is a relationship with God and a life of obedience to God. Do you understand that? That's what his gospel of Jesus Christ is being obedient to God. He says, if they don't, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out of the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. So that should be something that shakes us all up of, wait a minute, what am I doing? Salvation is not just some badge I wear and then I can go live my life. No, it has to be a conscious way of living for God. It must be, or you're not there. The other thing we have to keep in mind is human perception without God is deceptive. God let us know that in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death, which is clarifying and really giving to us. There's going to be ways that I'm going to look at and go, whoa, this makes sense, and I'm going to follow it. And I watch Christians do this all the time. And they'll do it in the name of God, even though God is not supporting it. And until it crashes, and then once again, they'll give the, but I thought, I felt, instead of God said. Some learn when it's too late. That's why he says in the end, it leads to death. Also, when we go outside the understanding of God, we are doomed. There are those that start off, we're in God's word, that's great. And then situations happen, and next thing you know, you start seeing us veering off. We start listening to podcasts. We start reading other books. We start listening to people who give speeches. And it takes us to a, once again, path of our understanding. It might stimulate or affect us a certain way, so we start following it instead of staying on the path of understanding. Proverbs 21:16 says, a man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead. So it's not just those who don't completely and trust and just see things the way God says, walking by faith, not by sight. But it's also those who started off that way and allow other elements to kick in. That's why he says the impure are in a dangerous state and they're worthless people, because I'm allowing other things. I stray from the path of understanding. Now, the problem is man has forgotten who he is in reference to God. Do you understand that? Totally forgotten it. Even though we read this, I think a lot of us have felt this, and some probably have said this out loud to God in Romans 9:19-21. I know this because some have said this to me. They say, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us for who resists his will? Because I think we have the attitude of we're doing our best. I think we like to feel that way because we really want to, you know, play the victim. Okay. And then say, then why did this thing still happen to me? Why did I still go through this? How come I didn't get what they got? And we're very frustrated. Feeling that comes over us. God, why? But the question we have to ask first is, but who are you, oh man, to talk back to God? I see this with parents. That's why I always tell parents, you have to establish an authority and a respect that because I said so is so important that they first and foremost understand that aspect. Do you understand it? That's why a lot of young people do not respect God, because we didn't raise them to respect. We raised them based on themselves, to feel good in themselves and all that. But we didn't base them on respect. Do you know what I mean? I remember the kids of my age used to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I'm not saying they were better. But the problem was we realized who we were talking to first. And sometimes we didn't get an answer. And that's the question you ask. Who are you talking to? Who are you, oh man, to talk back to God? And then he asks a basic question. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? Our problem is we keep getting involved in adult things. I'm going to explain what that means later. Okay, we're supposed to grow as godly adults, but we're still children of God. We're still way below where he is. And we keep getting involved in their conversations, if that makes sense, in godly conversations that we can't get instead of just accepting what he says. And then we question him. Then we talk about him. Do you see the problem? Now, only those that know God understand as they ought to understand. Please get that clear. Only those that know God understand as they ought to understand. When he says in Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice. Now, please, what he's saying here, he's not making me go, oh, yeah, those are evil people don't. He's saying, if you don't understand, it's because you're still evil. Oh, that hurt. But did you catch what he said? When God gives us these answers, he's given us the evidence and the understanding of what we have. He's saying evil men do not understand justice. So those who are stuck in not understanding, it's because I'm still living within the realms of evil, not in the realms of righteousness. That's why he says, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. They get it. You understand? Those that don't. I'm not saying you're not going to be a little confused, because at times you're going to may lean or look at things in a fleshly way, but immediately you accept what God says. That's what those who seek the Lord. Well, if that's what God did, amen. That's what they do. The evil don't make sense. And they get mad and they get angry at God because they're still living and allowing evil to play a part in their walk. Trusting God means to totally accept him and his ways, no matter what it seems to you. Do you understand that? That true relationship is going to be 100% him despite you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. People know that it's very strong in my life. I'm hoping it's very strong in your life, but it really sets the stage for everything. When he starts off with trust in the Lord with all your heart, that means with everything, trust in him. Please understand the definition of trust. He says it, I do it. I don't go, well, that makes sense. Why am I going to do that? And that's what we tend to do. Watch a person's life. They call themselves a Christian, but they don't forgive. They call themselves a Christian, but they still react in anger. They call themselves a Christian, and they don't change their bad habits. They call themselves a Christian. You see where I'm going with this? That means they don't trust God. The person who trusts God, you see them do what he says, despite how it makes them feel. You get me? That's why he then says, and lean not on your own understanding. That's where most of us blow it. We have this relationship with God as long as things make sense. Even though he says to walk by faith, many of us are still walking by what we call common sense. And God doesn't always make common sense. He mostly doesn't make common sense. Do you understand that? We trust in him means I'm going to get what he says in order to do it, period. The only understanding is, are you clear on what you're supposed to do? Do you get where I'm going with this? It might not make sense on what he's doing, why he's doing it, but we are going to do what he says. Keep this in mind. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Did you ever think about that? Now, when it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, do we do that, like I said, in what we drink, what we eat, whatever we do? Do we check and say, is this godly? Am I doing this for him? And he says, all your ways. That means everything I do, I'm supposed to check with him. Everything. To where that becomes a routine and it becomes so normal to what we do. It says, if I do that, and he will make your path straight. Problem is, my perception perceives I'm going straight. While he's saying, no, you're not. But at the time, I don't see it. Think of some many life decisions, and especially when I see people get into relationships. At the time, they're convinced and mad at the world, and they like to play the, they just don't understand us. And then you give it a couple of months, maybe a year or two. Next thing you know, what the heck have I done? Because they didn't acknowledge him. Do you understand? And they were going crooked thinking they were going straight. So this is where, like I said, the human wisdom gets in the way when he says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. He's saying, don't do that. What does it mean to be wise in your own eyes? I've gathered information. I've studied. I put things together. And here's my answer. He was like, I'm not accepting that. I've had a lot of people that would come to me with this, I did the research mentality. And I'm sure they did. And it sounds brilliant. And what it does is it puffs them up. But he says, fear the Lord and shun evil. The only ones I can accept are the ones that I've searched the word. And this is what it says. That's all you need. Once you start getting all this other information, it's going to make sense, but it's going to be wrong. He says, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Summing this up, it's saying without complete trusting in God, we will live the wrong way without knowing it. That's devastating. I mean, you mean well and you think you're doing well. He gives you the way that you're not going to be deceived, and many still don't do it. Most Christians do not do this. And once again, how do you know that, Pastor? Watch the things they do, how they deal with other people, how they deal with situations, how they deal with their finances. How did they do it? And you should be able to go, so why did you do that? Well, because the Bible says. Why did you do that? Because the Bible says. And we have to understand in understanding God that we must be spiritual in order to understand God the right way. I think a lot of things that the church has done and the most dangerous thing the church has done is corrupted the teachings by bringing in worldly intellectuals. Now, you may say, but Pastor, what does it matter with worldly intellectuals? It's just that. They're brilliant based on worldly standards. And they're going to speak on something. Now, like I said, to use an analogy to kind of show you an example of it, it's like we all speak English, and now I'm going to have the person run the church, somebody who only speaks Spanish. You see where I'm going with this? Okay? And he's saying, but the words we're learning is English, and he gets up there and he keeps speaking them in Spanish. We're going to be confused. He's making this very clear to us, and that's why in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 16, this is what we speak. He makes that clear for us. Not in words taught us by human wisdom. In other words, not in Spanish, right? He says, these words are not going to be things that some wise man came and put together. That's not what the Bible is. It's not this feeling you get and how you discover and grow in life. Everybody who's done that has been wrong. This has been back forever, and they've always failed on this. It says, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So the answers we get and the words that is being spoken to us are all based on this other thing called spirituality. It's the language of God that every Christian should be in. It says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. So that's not only including non-Christians, it's also including Christians who are not spiritual. Think about that. When I'm without the Spirit, that means I'm not leaning on the Spirit for understanding. I'm leaning on my feelings. I'm leaning on my perception. I'm leaning on how a desired outcome should be. Do you see where I'm going with this? And he makes clear they are foolishness to him. That's why some of the things God's doing, you see people make a face. What? What is this? Because it makes no sense to me. And it makes clear that a person without Spirit, he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The only way to understand them is with spiritual glasses, is with the spiritual representation of understanding. That's it. And he makes clear the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Why? Because he's spiritual. If I'm spiritual, I'm allowing God completely. Please understand that. Don't just tag this onto you and saying, oh, no, you can't judge me because God said, understand, this is meaningless to you if you're not spiritual. If I do something worldly and the world judges me, absolutely, because I did it worldly. But if I'm spiritual, I don't care what the world says about me. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have Christ in us. This is clear as long as you accept it. It says, if anything else, if we allow anything else to be the basis for our understanding, God, then we really don't know God. Do you understand that? And this is a problem. You know, we're allowing all these other things to be our foundation for understanding God. And just like that lady in the beginning when she was explaining God, which I wanted to jump in, but it would have just messed up everything and it really caused confusion. It would have been a me against her. But she, the stuff she was saying, I wanted to go, so that what you just said to these people about God, is that in the Bible? And they're setting them up because I've seen so many people who come into church and into God without a spiritual understanding of God. And they'll explain what they think God is. And then when they see something happen, you see them, oh, wow. And either what they'll do is they'll fall away or go look for a different type of God. Heartbreaking. And then we ourselves, I think we think we're convinced, we understand ourselves and people just don't understand us. But we have to understand that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Psalm 139, 1-6 really breaks that down for us. He shows that, oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. He knows what I'm thinking, why I'm thinking it, how I'm thinking it. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. In other words, he knows your habits. He knows what you do. You don't have to explain it to him. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. He knows what you're going to say. Oh Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. In other words, you put your hedge and your protection around me. And look what he says in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to understand. Hold on to that. We're going to come back to that last part because he's saying, I don't get it. This wasn't meant for me to read for you to now tear apart and really get it, because that's what people try to do, is for you to accept it. You have to understand, you don't understand God's understanding. Is never ending. You understand that? We don't realize his understanding is way beyond our understanding. Psalm 147:5 says, great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. So how do we question God? How are we saying he does stuff wrong? In fact, we tend to treat God as if he misses things at times. Listen to what some people say. Watch how we have distorted the Bible. There's certain customs and traditions we are doing today, but not in God's word, because some man went, I think God got it wrong. Now, to truly understand God, we must accept that there are things that are far beyond our understanding. Far beyond our understanding. Now, I stress that far beyond because, like I said earlier, we as children get involved in adult conversation. I remember my kids used to do that, and they wanted to talk. They had no idea what they were talking about. They would say things. I watched my grandkids do the same thing. You have to go get out of grown folks' kind of conversation. And we do the same thing with God. We speak to God as if we're God. And it goes downhill. We see many examples of this. Job recognized he was speaking out of extreme ignorance. Job 42, 1 to 3 says, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know.'" There's things that may seem simplistic, but are much more complex, and that's where we just have to go into it, trusting in God. You're going to see loved ones go through some disastrous things, and you got to trust God. Or you're going to see some people go through some great things, and please don't be one of those who overinterpret it as God did just because they're so favored. No, you have to accept it in God, based on God. Do you understand that? Because it's way beyond your understanding, so stop explaining things when you don't understand it. Life is not for us to figure out, but for us to completely turn to God. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. To our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What he's already giving us is, you're not going to get a lot of it. You got to just trust me. I feel that way every day. There's stuff I'm watching, and I'm like, God, what the heck? That's how I feel. While I'm living, okay, what's next? But that feeling is not going to go away because that's the flesh. The flesh wants to understand it based on me. Make it make sense to me. But that's like me going to a 2-year-old, telling them, well, it's time to go to bed. It ain't going to make sense to them, but I don't want to. They just do that, but I don't want to because their level of understanding is limited. God is not for us to try and figure out, but to accept. Do you get that? We must just accept him. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God and the maker of all things. What we don't understand, I know we say, well, doctors understand that now, how the body is formed. No, we still don't know. We see the process, but how does that work? And we only can try to emulate it using the things that God provided, but we can't do that. Because we don't understand that. How does it form a conscious being? Do you understand that? He says you cannot understand the work of God. There are things, we get to a level of understanding on the things we've learned, and it's far beyond the complexities of it. When we force ourselves to understand things that we are unable to understand, the results are disastrous. And this is where we're at in the scientific community. This is where we're at in the over emotional community. This is where we're at in the religious community. We're trying to force understanding instead of at times going, this is what God said, that settles it. It is necessary for us to go to church with the main purpose of receiving the word. Too many times we go to church just to pat myself on the back that I went to church. But your purpose is, the sole purpose to come to church is to receive the word. This is where you hold me accountable, Pastor, make sure you preach the word. Many of us go to church to feel better, just to say we went to church, but not to receive that word. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 3 really breaks it down. He says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. I used to do a thing in which I allowed questions and comments. Problem is, people were more stuck on, let me display what I want to say, and less on, I just want to understand what God is trying to say. I foolishly thought people would grasp the fact and say, you know what, this is for me to hear what God says. But it wasn't. People were saying, no, I got to put out my point of view. And people were doing that. And it was dangerous. And I had to cancel that. He says, go near to listen rather than to offer to sacrifice fools who do not know what they do wrong. I mean, there are some of us that we're living our life, we don't even realize we're wrong. But we don't go to check. How many of us listen to stuff in church and you're doing the thing that's being repeated over and over again, but you don't change? What is that? He says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty with your heart to utter anything before God. Because a lot of us go with that mindset of, I already understand that. I already get that. Instead of going, do I really understand that? Do I really get that? It was a young part in my life where I went to church and the things I really thought I had a grasp on, when they would preach on it, I'd listen. I mean, intently listen as if I didn't know it. And it blew my mind how many times when I would get God's word, how it would add more on what I thought I already knew. He says, God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When somebody just overtalks and you hear them talking, and usually he's saying it's usually a fool. You understand that? But he's putting this out there that a Christian is going there to receive. Go to church to receive. I want to get it. If it would, that whole question thing would have worked and people were doing this, all they would have said, hey, can you make that clear? That's all they would ask. The question they would have asked is this what you mean? That's all. The comment part is where it really messed up. We must trust in the word to really know God. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13 says, for the word of God is living and active. We keep treating it as some old text. All these other books out here that are written are old texts. The word of God is active. It's living. It's not out of touch. It's something that's still performing and acting. It says sharper than any double-edged sword. So in other words, it cuts both ways. It penetrates even, and he says, every part of what we are. So the Bible goes through, it says dividing soul. So it deals for what I am. The Bible knows who I am, what I am, everything about me. It says, and spirit, so it knows the spirit. It understands how I'm supposed to be spiritual, how the spirit of man works in concert with the Holy Spirit. And this is joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So then that's my flesh. It covers every aspect. It knows. The Bible's the only thing that knows all of it and every element that makes up us. Only the Bible knows that. He makes very clear, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. What that means is, I think a lot of us are doing something with the mindset of, oh, it's because God doesn't understand. Now, parents might not understand all the time, and people who are leaders may not understand all the time. Oh, but God's saying, he completely understands. So if you're doing something with the mindset of, I'm going to go to him because God must have missed something, you're just setting yourself up when it's time for you to give an account. To trust, the trust we have must be in the word only. Satan has allowed people to write books and we start respecting people and we start following the people's books, not what God says. They use the word to lure you into their conversation. They don't use their conversation to give you full understanding in the word. Titus 1, 15 through 16 says, to the pure, all things are pure. Every time I get that, it gives me goosebumps because it's an understanding of, wow, how deep that is. Because how many Christians you'll hear and they'll speak something that's in the Bible, then they'll say something that I heard so and such say. And they'll take a person. I told you I heard a minister one time and he was quoting the Bible and quoting C.S. Lewis. Now, to many Christians in the Christian community, they have such a respect for C.S. Lewis. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But why am I quoting C.S. Lewis unless C.S. Lewis is quoting God? And I can't say he was 100% in line with God. I can't say that. Do you understand? It's not just him. That's why I never went away and say, well, Pastor Keith said. No. I only want you to say, if Pastor Keith put out what the Bible says, then you can say, the Bible says. I don't even have to be in that. That's the pure, where I can say everything I'm doing is 100% from the Bible. But he says, but to those who are corrupted. That's even what we may consider a little bit. In other words, I do read the Bible. I do follow the Bible. And there's these other elements out there. He says, that's corrupted. And do not believe, nothing is pure. How we deal with things, how we see things will not be pure. Because it's going to have an element of other things in it. In fact, both their minds and consciousness are corrupted. They claim to know God. Here we go. But by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. He gives us the emphasis of they'll say they know God. How many of us out there are doing exactly that? We're quick to say, I have this relationship with God. I know God. But you watch them and how they live, how they deal with things is totally different than what the word says. How do you explain that? How can we explain that? He says they are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything. That sounds like he's insulting them, but he's letting them know. And too many of us lean upon these people, because they seem so brilliant, they seem so smart, and they're corrupting you, and they're really causing problems. And all you have to do is watch. You're like, that's ungodly. But please, you must understand what godly is before you can assess that. God gives our lives, so we must live trusting him, not resisting him. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How can anyone understand his own way? In other words, if we just lived our life trusting in him, we're going to get on and stay on that right path. Things are going to happen that are going to make no sense. They're going to drive you fleshly to do other things. And all this stuff is done purposely for us to go, no, God said go this way. That's it. Just like Adam and Eve, you may say, well, if he guided theirs, why did they still eat the fruit? Oh, no. In his guidance, it was this. I'm guiding you. So you misstep, you're going to pay for it. That's still him guiding you. You do understand that. When people go to hell, okay, and it's going to happen to more people than not, okay, it's not because God misled them or they went on the wrong way or God left them. No. It's saying he directs their steps. And what that direction means, if you do this, then this will happen. But if you do this, do you see where I'm coming from? In the directing of our steps of life, he's going to guide us in where we're going to go. That's just life. That's how it's going to happen, where I'm going to go. Time and chance is going to happen. It's just how it's going to be. But my decision is either to trust in him or not. Those who know God will not take any part of life for granted. They'll be able to say this and fully grasp in Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When I look at things with my fleshly eyes, I see things that happen that make no sense, at times are very frustrating. Do you understand that? But when I look at things through my spiritual eyes, I come back to this verse. This is working for our good because it's part of all things. I don't see it, but I know it's working for our good. We take medications, have no idea what it's doing to our body, but we know, and even though that's not as sure as God, we take it. Because in our minds, we know it's helping me. Isn't that something? Why don't we do that with God? Finally, when it comes down to it, to truly live knowing God, we must live revering God and allowing him to work. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 sums up our lives in a sense. To make sure we're not living in this despair and this frustration and confusion, but we're living in the trusting in God. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, there's that obedience again, as we started with, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That work out your salvation is your life. We are now saved. Live saved. But make sure you do it with fear and trembling. Here's the difference. I get those people that speak religious. They almost speak of God as we have this thing, and they kind of live loosely. They do things without checking. There was two types of kids got growing up. You had the ones that went to the refrigerator. They just went and did things. They stayed out late. They did. Why? Because parents didn't do anything. There was no boundaries. Then you had the other ones that almost every step have to ask. You have to ask them, did you ask? Why? It trains fear and trembling. I didn't tell you could do that. There's a lot of stuff Christians, people call themselves Christians, are doing and never checked with God because there's no fear and trembling. And they're going to get punished for it. And they don't understand. They're walking around, what happened? I didn't understand. What did I do? You know what you did. You never checked with God. When we do this, we allow God. When we 100% do it with fear and trembling, check with him on everything, then you allow him to work on you as you need to be worked on. That's why it says, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. the whole summing up of this, I'm hoping that people read this, look deep in themselves, and stop allowing their understanding to get in the way of true understanding and really go out of their way to truly know God, our Father. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you so much for your love, for your wisdom, for your guidance. We just ask you, dear God, to help us to eliminate those things that we've allowed in our lives to distort our relationship with you. We want to have a complete, unadulterated relationship with you based on you, following your ways that we may have your understanding at all times. We want to walk in such a way that when others see us, they're getting ministered to because we are walking and living your word. Help us not allow our feelings to get in the way, but to lean upon you spiritually. We thank you so much for loving us, for being so patient with us, dear God. And we ask you to continue to help us and guide us. We love you, and we're going to do all that your word says. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.